So, you've just finished A Court of Thorn and Roses, and you're craving another fantasy world to devour. Dipsy's got your back. Dive into spicy enemies-to-lovers tales, or embark on an epic romance between immortal fae and sworn foes. They've got fantasy romance stories perfect for your morning walk, late night, or long bath.
Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. I gotta tell you that the immersive soundscapes are really what makes a good sexy story different from a not good sexy story, because it just like adds, like, it's hard sometimes in like reading a novel to like get the actual feel of what's going on. But when it's like, oh, we're like at the coffee shop and this is like actually happening, it's like very different.
And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction for you, Sam, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore.
Dipsy offers a modern approach to romance through high quality and captivating audio fiction. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/justbreakup. dipsystories.com/justbreakup.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who is moving in with her partner and freaking out about it. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners, although both of us have moved in with significant others multiple times.
Yes, we have. We are not professionals, though. And I've never hired professional movers. Have you?
Yes. One time.
Was it awesome?
Yeah. It was so great. It was fantastic.
I think about like my early 20s when I used to move 100% by myself. Because I
just
wouldn't.
Wild.
Like,
well, you
like,
had,
I'm
like
talking,
nothing.
I'm talking about like full mattresses by my 5'3" self. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. In a non-truck, no less.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm imagining you with your like little Honda Civic.
Like. Yes, exactly. It was a CRV. Thank you very much.
Sorry, here we go.
We're not professionals. We're not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit. We're just here to offer our humble musings and hopefully set some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love.
All right, we are going to get right into today's letter. It comes from Anxiously Spiraling, whose pronouns are she, her, who is writing from Cohabitation Confusion. I'm writing because I'm in what feels like a major point in my relationship. I'm starting to feel like it's almost too big and meaningful, and I'm scared slash panicked slash indecisive. I, queer cis woman, 28, started monogamously dating my current boyfriend, he, him, cis straight man, 31, 1 year and 8 months ago. It's a communicative, supportive, fun, and dynamic relationship, and I feel stable, supported, and happy in it. We've had talks slash check-ins about our future, and moving in together is the top line item in them pretty consistently. We both think this is generally the right direction for us at this point, and the time has come when leases are ending. We've decided that it's happening in June. For context, we both live in New York City, have dissimilar work schedules, and live in neighborhoods that are difficult to travel to and from one another due to shitty public transport. There's a lot of extended stays at one another's places, which can destabilize our routines and general home habits and groundedness. A decision to cohabitate comes from general fatigue with this and also believing in our relationship and trusting one another enough to work through this new phase together. So, where's the problem? We've never lived with another partner before, so this is a new thing for the both of us, and I'm starting to feel psyched out by the weight of it. Like, what does it mean in the grand scheme of it all? You've talked about the relationship escalator before, and I've done a ton of work trying to rewire my brain around what things should look like or how they're supposed to work. In therapy, a big thing for me is constantly working with my perfectionism, and it has a tendency to show up regularly and strongly. I find myself in this strange place where I'm like, wait, am I on the relationship escalator right now? Am I making the right decision in the grand scheme of my life? Am I thinking too big picture? It's exhausting because I'm constantly teetering-tottering between, why are you making this such a big deal? And why are you minimizing this very impactful life decision? Which I deeply relate to that, so that teeter-totter.
Teeter-totter, that's a great word for it.
Uh-huh. On top of this, it's also hard to not feel like I'm losing something with this decision to cohabitate. For example, my own space, my beautiful apartment of 6 years, my stability and routine I've made here. It feels like letting go, which is scary for me. I am a generally independent person, sometimes to a fault, who likes to have the space to carve out time for my friends, hobbies, and work. I am tidy, pro-organization/planning, love to be active, and think a lot about my relationships in all areas of my life. Him? A much more go-with-the-flow and spontaneous person, less quick to stress, more patient, more relaxed about living spaces, cleanliness, dirtier than me, haha, and he is less worried about this move-in. I'm over here like, wait, we need to talk about how it's going to be, prep for the potential conflicts ahead, who will do what, and he's much more like, let's see what happens and we'll experiment once we're in it. I honestly appreciate his chill. While on one hand, I am excited and ready to build a new home, on the other, I am anxious and I've started thinking thoughts like, wait, is this right? My worries are, is this the right decision? Are we the right match? And what happens if we break up? What if I like it? Will I lose my agency?
What if
see
I
my
like
friends
it?
Less? Yeah,
no,
so deeply relatable.
It's so cute.
Will I lose my agency, see my friends less, deprioritize things that matter to me now? Maybe I'm afraid of losing myself. So my questions to you are, can you help me consider the silver linings? I'm a bit stuck in my anxious thought loops. Advice on how to cohabitate or plan for it? Can you talk about fostering independence in a relationship, specifically around cohabitation? Sam, I've loved some of the things that you've said in the past and would love to hear more about this practice. How do you do love-life balance while living together? After reading my letter, I realized how incredibly anxious and afraid of life I seem, but I'm pressing send anyway.
We're glad you did. All right, my darling, thank you so much for writing and for trusting us with this adorable little anxious spiral that we are. We've been there. We're with you. But yeah, so you're moving in with your partner in June, next month, soon. And I'm excited for you. This is a beautiful thing. And just because you are having anxiety about it doesn't mean it's not the right next step for you. It sounds like you put a lot of thought into this, a lot more thought than I have in past relationships. But it makes a lot of sense that you're feeling this anxiety. Obviously, your physical anxiety is making the highs higher and the lows lower. You know, the peaks and valleys, the seesaw of those feelings. But it makes a lot of sense. This is a big step. And it's a step that does change a lot more of your life than just introducing a new relationship to your life. Because you're sharing a home, you're sharing a routine, a space with somebody, and it can be really challenging. And it also can be really, really, really beautiful. And I'm gonna be incredibly pro moving in on this letter or this response, because I want to speak to your anxieties, and I do think it can be a really positive thing, even when it challenges us. Of course, there are times in which we shouldn't cohabitate. I actually totally love when couples intentionally choose not to live together. I think that's a great thing as well. But to help disrupt some of your anxious spiral, I am going to remind you that this is a cool, beautiful thing that you're doing. And you're totally capable of executing it even when it gets crunchy. So we're going to give you a bunch of advice and a bunch of affirmation about your joys and your wishes and your sorrows and your fears. But first, we're going to take a very quick break. Y'all, as a self-employed person, as a mom of a toddler, I am always struggling with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all of that for me.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place, and if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help cancel it with a few taps.
I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits and check myself if needed. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money will even help try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you, which I obviously love as a somewhat introverted, conflict avoidant person.
Absolutely. Rocket Money has over 5 million subscribers and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
That's rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets, sweaters, and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Quince has things like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. This past month, I treated myself to a pair of new slippers because I'm in that hashtag mom life era of my life, in which I am never not in slippers. And these are 100% Australian shearling lined clog slippers. And I love that they're slip on, but they have those durable rubber outsoles. They're super cushy, super comfortable, but I feel like I can run outside to like take the trash out in them while also like staying warm and active in the house.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/justbreakup for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/justbreakup to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/justbreakup. All right, everyone, welcome back. Yeah, I love all of the questions that you're asking in this letter. And I do really appreciate how carefully you are considering this big step, right? Because like you said, it is a big step for sure. Cohabitating with somebody is a huge transition for a relationship. And it's also something that people do all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it.
Right? Like people make this happen every single day. And I think that like based on what you have said about your partner and how much you love and support each other and how willing he is to like have conversations about this kind of stuff and figure this out with you, right? Like that's all good signs that things are going to go well. But I think it is important to recognize that like moving in together is a disruption to the relationship. And so being cognizant of that and not expecting every tool that we used to work, that used to work before we moved in, to start to continue to work while we are moved in together, right? We need to recognize that like things are going to be different. And so we have to both be planful, I think, which is what you're doing, like literally talking about like who's going to do what chores. Like that is an important thing to talk about for sure. And recognize that like it's going to take some experimentation, which I think is like the perspective that your partner seems to be bringing, which is like y'all are blending well, right? Like bring doses of both of your perspectives into this and try and meet each other. Because the truth is that like, yeah, you can do all the planning that you would want to do and be like, okay, here's the chore chart and here's where all of the furniture is going to go. And here's all of the stuff that we're going to buy. And here are the rules that we're going to have in terms of like how we tell each other that we're coming home at night, right? Like all of these different things can be as planned out as you want. And then stuff is going to come up that you didn't plan for, or that you're, the plan doesn't work because it isn't actually helpful for either of you in the actual lived experience of it. And so I think that like, I appreciate that you all are having conversations about it. And I also really want to encourage you to recognize that like, you're gonna have to be open to shifting and changing as you learn more about yourself and your partner and what it means for you two to cohabitate together, and to not beat yourself up if things don't go perfectly immediately, right? Like when Peter and I moved in together, we'd been dating for over 2 years at that point, and there was crunchiness for sure, because it was like, why are you doing that?
That is the most fucking Sam Blackwell thing I have ever heard in my life.
Why are you being weird?
Why are you like, doing that?
Like, you have to explain it to me, right? Or, you know, other things that I do that were annoying to Peter.
My version of that is, why are you going upstairs without me?
Absolutely, right?
We share our own things.
Yeah, for sure. Or like the first time that they come home later than you're expecting them, and suddenly you're really anxious, and it's like, wait, this is a new sensation, right? I didn't have to worry about when they were coming home before, right? Like there's so many things that I don't think that you can necessarily prepare for, which doesn't, I'm not saying to scare you, but saying to like, you need to be in a place where you can be a little squishy, right? Where you can kind of bump around and recognize that like bumping around is part of the process. It is part of the process of coming to a thing where there are less bumps. I mean, there will still be some bumps, but you know, like there's stuff happening. So
yeah, I think that's a really beautiful way to approach this, that you have to be a little bit flexible in the beginning. You know, I'm like a messy planner. I fucking love to plan things out. I want to plan where I'm going to hang things, how things are going to feel. I want to know what time people are coming home. I think that all of those things like dull my anxiety a little. So it makes a lot of sense to me that you're like, we need to talk this out. And I agree. There are actually some things to talk about in advance, but it's not everything. And even the things you talk about in advance, it's like they're going to settle. They're going to settle into place. There's going to be some movement even for those things that you plan out in advance. I will suggest to you a couple things that I think you should talk about in advance just to have some vague understanding. And then I'm going to talk about some fun things that you can talk about in advance to infuse some more joy back into this process. But as Sam said, you're going to have to give a little bit, or there's going to be a crunchy period before it's smooth, and then it's going to get crunchy again, and then it's going to, I don't know, turn into something smooth. I don't know. So
really lost that things, metaphor.
Yeah. Did I lose it or just like run it into the ground? Things that I would talk about in advance, just like musings, like, but make it fun, right? Like go out to brunch and be like, let's go do something fun and talk about our new apartment. You know, like, I don't know, again, infusing joy into this. I would talk about chores or like how you want to move through the house. Again, it's not going to be the fully fledged out chore chart that Sam talked about. More like a communication about your styles and where you're willing to bend and ebb and meet each other in them. You know, like you could be like over your mimosa or your latte or whatever, you can say, I really love making the bed every day and I'm happy to do that.
I don't expect you to do that every day, and I'll do it, you know. And he can say, I'm really bad at doing the dishes, but I can try to at least put them in the dishwasher or whatever. Why I want you to talk about this a little bit in advance is so that you sort of grease those wheels so it's easier to talk about as you go, and to avoid the resentment building up of like, why am I the only one that does this? How come you never do this? That can be avoided by talking about it in advance, but not all the time. Sometimes we just see things through our own narrative, like, oh my God, he left this sock on the floor because he knows I'm going to pick it up. No, he doesn't care about that sock. He's not thinking about that sock. That's why it's on the floor. You know, there's a lot of like personal narrative that go into those little conflicts about in cohabitating. The other thing I would talk about is like, how are you going to split your bills, and how are you actually physically going to split the bills? I've heard people using apps that like total your bills and split it down to the middle, or I don't know any of that stuff, so please Google it. But like, talk about, how are you going to split groceries? How are you going to split household items? How are you going to split rent? Is it down the middle, or is it based on income, or is it based on whatever? And how are you, you know, is it you're going to take turns buying groceries, or are you going to split things? Are you going to Venmo each other? Or are you going to keep a tally? You know, those logistics are pretty good to have out in front of the move so that you don't have to figure them out when you're still in that crunchy period of figuring out how to be each other's roommates, essentially. And alone time, giving each other the script to say, I know we're in the same apartment right now, I just need to kind of zone out for a couple hours by myself. Or I love that we're together right now, I'm going to go read my book in bed, do you want to lay next to me? But I need alone time, you know, or like, I need to decompress, which has nothing to do with how much I love you or how much I want to be with you. It's just that I need to sort of be alone in my head right now. Or alone time independently, like, you know, it's okay for me. There's going to be times that I want to spend time with my friends without you. How would you like me to go about telling you that, you know, giving each other just like little scripts to use in advance of actually having to use them. Fun things to talk about before move-in that I know I have enjoyed talking about because I enjoy them. So this is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Who's going to do the cooking? And who's going to do the grocery shopping? I actually love cooking, and I actually weirdly like grocery shopping. And
I love that for you.
Thank you. Before my wife and I moved in together, you know what it is that I've never had financial security, and now I do. So now I love, I love swiping that card, knowing there's no chance. You know what I mean?
Like, you're like, I want those pickles, and I can afford them now.
Yeah,
so.
Literally, I lived a lifetime of financial insecurity, and now I'm like secure. And by that, I mean like baseline, the baseline amount of income you could think of. Anyway. Mm-hmm. And I love to talk about, Willow and I would fantasize about being able to share meals together, and who was going to cook them. Definitely me, not her. And
oh, you don't want a bowl of just rice and unseasoned beans? Why wouldn't you want that?
This is the sickest and truest dig on my wife. So we would talk about that. I love to fantasize about our stuff being together. Our stuff, you know, if you guys both have artwork, like, are you hanging your posters together? Are you putting your blankets together? What is your stuff going to look like together? And don't get me wrong, like I said, these could be things that you talk about in advance that stress you the fuck out because you don't like his stuff, or he's a terrible cook, or whatever. These are my things that I love to talk about before I moved in, or that I was fantasizing about. And then most importantly, something that I've really, really, really grown to love in what might be like my only secure relationship I've ever had is finding like the hard-earned independence that we have carved out from one another and then coming home to each other. That is so nice about a healthy cohabitating relationship. Again, I'm infusing the joy into this, is that, like Sam said, many people move in together and have it be a good thing for their life. Can it be sticky? Yes. Is Does it change your relationship? Yes. But many people have found goodness in cohabitating. And one of them for me is really learning how to be independent in a cohabitating relationship, in a traditionally codependent relationship. And then that sweet spot of like going out and doing my own thing and being my own person, and then coming home to the person who I consider to be my home. And that's like a great thing about all of that. Living with somebody, listen, it is all about compromise. You have to learn how to accept who they are, and they have to accept who you are. But things will inevitably ebb and flow. You have to sort of like pick your battles for in terms of what you want to, what is a boundary or a, it's not a boundary, a line for you or a standard for you that you need to be upheld or you need support upholding. It ebbs and flows, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does. But I think, you know, as you're thinking about the silver linings of it, I think what Sierra said is absolutely true for me, right? Like the idea that we are two people who love each other deeply and have independent lives and are also choosing to like be together in our most vulnerable moments, right? Like we're together when we're at home, which is so lovely. And I think I was similar to you in that like I was, and like also still am, like a very independent person, right? Like I like doing things and taking care of myself. That was like a marker of my identity. And living with Peter has shown me that I'm still that person, even if I am also taken care of, right? Like even if Peter does all of the yard work, right? Like even if Peter, does all of the vacuuming. I don't vacuum. I hate it. The sound freaks me out, right? And like he does it. And like that is so wonderful that I have like this person who allows me to be my own person and also wants to come and take care of me too. And I think that, you know, as we're thinking about like stepping off the relationship escalator and instead trying to figure out how to make decisions about our relationship or relationships that serve us, right? That are in alignment with our values and our goals and what we actually want, right? Like I think one of the joys of moving in with someone is that it provides space for us to be able to be ourselves really authentically with the other person, right? And I think that's missing when, even if you're spending like 4 days together at each other's apartment, because like you said in your letter, right? Like that's actually really disruptive for our like habits, right? It's really disruptive for our way of being. And what's beautiful about, or at least what I think is beautiful about moving in together is that like, it's so wonderful to be able to do the things that I need to do to take care of myself and to have Peter be able to do the things that he needs to do to take care of himself, and to be able to take care of each other because we know each other so well and because we have been invited into each other's like practices around care. And I think it's wonderful, right? Like I know that the prospect of it is really intense, and I totally get that. And I had similar feelings before I moved in with Peter and before I moved in with my other ex, right? And like I firmly believe that like it was even more than getting married, I think, right? Like moving in together actually like built the strength of our relationship in ways that I think if we lived apart, we couldn't do. And like, again, like if people want to live apart, that's totally awesome. Like you do you. And if that's the way that your relationship works and what you want, I love that for you. But I think for me, it transformed our relationship because it made me be more vulnerable. And that was freaky and weird and terrifying and sometimes really challenging in the moment. But I think I'm a better person. I'm a better partner because of the ways in which cohabitating has forced me to stop pretending like I'm totally independent and that I can do everything for myself.
That is so beautiful. Well, and I think, I mean, and that's a unique situation for you and your sense of independence and how important that is to your identity. But I love the idea that learning to cohabitate also makes you feel like a better partner and a more well-rounded person. You know, I do think there's a lot of scary narratives out there about what happens when you move in. And, you know, Sam and I have read them all in your letters. You know, we've experienced them. We've experienced toxic living environments and relationships. And also we are both right now sitting, cohabitating in a really healthy, positive, in relationships that have really benefited our life because we are living together. I've always said that, like, switching gears mildly, like getting married for Willow and I, like, do I believe in the institution of marriage? Whatever, take it or leave it. It doesn't make your relationship more real to me at all. Also, getting married was a really powerful act for our relationship that has made us stronger. And moving in is right up there with it. And I think Sam's totally right. Like, that was the, you know, when Willow and I bicker now, or when we have conflict now, it's not about like whether we're going to be together forever or not. It's about, can you flip the laundry more? You know what I mean? Or it's about, I'm touched out because I have a toddler like clinging to my hip and I'm trying to make dinner and you're over there on your phone. Like, can you help me with this domestic labor or whatever? You know, it's cohabitating is a magical, powerful thing that is a gift and a challenge to relationships. So maybe you are more or less anxious.
Yeah, I know. All right. I'm like, oh God, I'm telling you, you have to be vulnerable and that it's going to be crunchy. Like, and now you're like probably freaking out. But yes. I want to say that, like, yeah, absolutely. And those things are understandable to be nervous about, for sure. And like, those are, I think, the things where we start to come together in different ways, right? Where we start to learn more about each other. And I think that crunchiness can help strengthen relationships in really meaningful ways. And I have faith that, given everything that you've told us about yourself and your partner, that this moving in together is going to be something that helps strengthen the relationship, and that you're gonna find that it's actually really helpful and beneficial for both of you.
Yeah, I totally agree. One more thing I'll say, as like the non-naturally independent person who has like, who is just now, especially like with a 2-year-old, you know, you lose a lot of independence as a new parent. I'm just now in my life, like, flexing those wings again and remembering what it feels like to be outside of this house and outside of this family as a full, whole human being. Like Sam always says, it feels crunchy until it's smooth. Like, it might feel awkward to be like, I think I need to go to the bookstore by myself. Or oftentimes I tell my wife, like, I want to go to the grocery store by myself. I want to leave the house by myself, have time away from you. It takes practice. It's not always going to feel that love-life balance. You know, I don't always feel like my wife's romantic partner. Sometimes I feel like her project manager partner. Sometimes I feel like her, you know, family member, in that, like, we are intimate and we're talking about our histories and our hearts and our desires. And on the best days, we're like a melting pot of all of those things. The balance takes practice, as we've said already, as Sam articulated like 20 minutes ago. All right, y'all. We love you so much to our darling letter writer. We hope this helps, and the best of luck to you and your partner moving in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for writing. We love you. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, and if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on a Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to all of those office hours. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship meme, but most importantly, you can send us your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duvide Media. Original music, recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcasts and his music. And remember, the relationship escalator is one to be questioned. It's one to rebel against, and it's definitely not a blueprint for your life. But that doesn't mean some of the stops on that escalator are bad things. Moving in together, getting married, if you do choose so, cohabitating in whatever way feels good for you. These are beautiful acts of community and vulnerability, and they can lead to more closeness and more support. And these are things that you deserve and are capable of. And if all else fails,
just break up.